Joining us on the line now is Erkut Sokut, who was born in Germany and is an influential football agent, lawyer and lecturer. He's the founder of the Football Agent Institute and wrote the definitive book on agenting, How to Become a Football Agent. He's always been passionate about sport and football and is with us on the book show to talk about his debut novel, Deadline. He uses his own experiences to lift the lid on the murky world of football agenting. Welcome to the book show, Erkut.
Hi, thank you very much for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Great to chat with you. I'm not sure that I've spoken to a football agent before. It always surprises me when I speak to someone who I don't think I've interviewed before, because I've been doing this for quite a long time now, almost 20 years. And I thought today, I'm not sure if I've interviewed a football agent before. So this is exciting for me. This is new.
Oh, that's great, and I'm happy that my probably the first one, so it's even better for me, so that you're interviewing, and hopefully it will be nice you find out the good side about agents. Usually agents don't have the best reputation out there, so hopefully we talk about nice things today.
Yeah, so why is that? Why do you think there isn't a good reputation for football agents?
I mean, of course, like, football is the biggest sport in the world, and bad news are better than good news out there. And there are always bad people in certain businesses. In football, there are also bad agents and there are good agents. But what we read usually is about the bad agents. No one writes about the good ones who are really doing their profession very well, and they're very professional and looking, taking care of football players. But we don't hear much about them. It's usually about the agents who made a lot of money or done a kickback with someone in the club. It's all these news which come out, right? Which people want to read and listen to. And that's why the image is not really good. And another point is not good because agents are not regulated until now. So there were regulations in place. But since 2015, agents are really not regulated. Every country is doing it by itself. And it's like the Wild West. Like, it's anyone can register themselves as an agent and start working, which is not good for the industry.
No. So how did you get into it? What's your background?
So I call myself more a teacher and a writer than an agent and a lawyer. So I always wanted to teach, but my family pushed me to become a lawyer or a doctor. So I studied law, but then I became a teacher at university. So my family was happy I'm a lawyer. I was happy I'm a teacher. But I specialized myself very early in the area of sports, in sports law and sports management. And because of teaching in that field, I became an expert very soon and regarding contracts and negotiating football contracts, food contracts. And that's how I get in touch with people from the industry and started helping them actually in these deals. Like, family members asking me, hey, Eric, could you help my son in this deal? So, okay, well done. I do that. I'm a lawyer as well. So no, it's no problem. So helping once, twice, I ended up becoming an agent actually, and that's where I am today. So, but if you ask me what I love teaching and writing, and I still want to become a professor, and that's my first goal in life. But on the way to become a professor, I had some ways to the left and right. One of them is being an agent.
Yeah, for great. And with regards to football and football agency, we're led to believe, certainly with the amount of money that football players get and transfer deals, the amount of money that is exchanged between clubs, a massive amount of money. I mean, there's so much money in football. What's your kind of opinion on the amount of money in football?
I mean, you're totally right. And the money is still growing. Even we had now COVID and some restrictions and some clubs suffered. But generally, salaries is growing, because football as a business is growing worldwide. It's every year, it's the biggest sport in the world. It attracts commercial partners. It attracts TV revenue is very high. In a lot of countries is growing, especially like a market like the United States recently is growing so fast in soccer. They call it soccer, as you know. So it's a new big market as well coming on top. And that's why big market, big sponsors, big TV revenue means big money for everyone involved in football, as well for the football players, which are the, I always say, the gladiators in the arena, right? It's an entertainment in the end. So they're getting a part of that big money, which is growing every year, interestingly. And I think, yeah, it's a lot of money. And the thing is, like, if you compare it with other sports like basketball in America or baseball, they also earn a lot of money, probably some even more than in football. But on a scale worldwide, if you put it, not many footballers are in the bracket of becoming multimillionaires. That's the impression we have. There's some a lot of Premier League players, La Liga, Serie A, a little bit Bundesliga, but the rest of the world, they're not millionaires. They're not earning that much money. That's the impression we have.
Yeah, definitely. So the fact that you're writing is a big passion of yours, and obviously you're working in football and as a football agent, was it a kind of easy decision for you to write a book about football and football agency?
No, I wouldn't say it was easy, to be honest. I had to learn a lot of things first, because writing a book about how to become a football agent is, of course, it's much more easier for me. I can explain about my work. And I've written other things, articles in that field and how things should be in that business. But writing a novel, writing a thriller is a different avenue. It's something totally was new for me. But I wanted to tell stories, stories which I couldn't tell through the other books. But the stories I want to tell, I could tell in fictional ways. And so actually, I bought a lot of books, how to write a novel in the beginning, 3 years ago, like in German, in Turkish, and in English. And I was reading, learning how to build a character, how to build up locations, how to, you know, the plot, how you can do and this. So literally everything. And I'm a reader as well. I read a lot. So I was inspired by John Grisham as like my favorite author. Mm-hmm. And when I was a law student back in Germany, I was waiting for his books to come out because I was learning so much. I loved his stories, but I loved also because I was learning a lot about the legal system in the United States. So it was enriching me knowledge-wise. And I felt I want to do the same. I want to entertain people by reading my novel. There's a great story. And I'm always trying to find a gray area in football or in other sports to really give them some knowledge. What's really going on there, actually?
Yeah, no, it's a good idea. So tell us about your protagonist, your main character in this book.
Yeah, I mean, main character is Ander Anaïa, Ander, so, I mean, he's actually Willem. So I was literally, I was in the beginning thinking who will be the main character, the good guy, the bad guy, but the bad guy became actually the protagonist. Like, it developed like that while I was writing it. And, but it's great because he's the most interesting person in the book. And he's an agent from the Basque region of Spain. And he has a brother who is a coach at Manchester United, and he's trying to bring one of his players into the club. So, and all the story coming from Spain, then he's coming to Manchester and experience there in the club. He's going to the club, Manchester United, and really the story about the transfer, I'm explaining how a transfer works out. But at the same time, different parties trying to bring a player at the same time to a club, which is not unusual. And he's using his brother, who is the coach of the club. So there's the point where nepotism comes in. Mm. And nepotism is a big problem in football world, which is unspoken. That's the gray area I wanted to talk about. Why? Because I'm 20 years in this business and I came so much across nepotism in football where doors were closed for me because someone said, hey, if you want to do this deal, you have to work with my brother. If you want to do this deal, you have to work with my uncle. If you want to do this deal, you work with my best friend. Wow. So there was always someone outside the club who's kind of a gatekeeper in a lot of time. And that's the nepotism in it. And I'm discussing with the reader, or I'm trying to explain the reader through a journalist, which is Annabelle, also a very interesting character. She's explaining the good guy, which is David Miller, how nepotism is actually in football, like for years, like in clubs like Man United, in Bayern Munich, in Germany. Nepotism exists all over, and it's not illegal. It isn't, right? Not in any business. But is it ethically correct? That's the question I'm bringing out there, and I want the reader to see what's because that's fact. There are facts about that. I name people's name, which are in football clubs right now in the world, and where the brothers are football agents. That exists right now, and the reader will get through fictional characters, but facts through a journalist to start thinking. Wait a minute, that's a little bit, we as a fan, we didn't know that's going on there. That's a little bit weird. Should that be allowed? Should the football authorities maybe say, hey, that's unethical. We shouldn't have nepotism in football clubs at all. So that's the discussion I built up through the protagonist coming and using the bad ways an agent can have, right? I'm not saying I'm doing that. So trying to influence people and also paying people within the clubs to make the deal happen. Which is nothing unusual in football either. So you pay people inside the club a share, a future commission, or make an upfront payment to make a deal happen. So very normal in today's football as well, which a lot of fans, of course, don't know about it.
really interesting, isn't it? It's, I mean, they always say it's all about who you know and connections and things. As you say, it's not illegal, but does that make it right? You know, I guess it's the kind of thing that I'm sure happens in most, if not all, kind of businesses and organizations, yeah. big companies. I can just think of so many examples, whether it's politics, whether it's the pharmaceutical industry. You know, we hear about so many connections. Oh, this is my brother, this is my wife, you know, different companies, different connections that are being paid off by people or getting winning contracts for things because they're connected to the person. I mean, it's quite frightening, really, isn't it? I didn't realize it was happening like this in football, but I guess sadly it's no surprise.
Yeah, I mean, that what happens in politics and business is the same happens in football. I mean, that's actually what I'm trying to show, like, and that this problem exists. And for someone who is not powerful and doesn't have the ties and the network, he'll always suffer from this, right? To enter the business is very difficult as an agent, for example, to break through, because there are always these barriers, always people saying, hey, you have to work with me to make this deal happen, which is not easy. And I always say in the beginning, you ask why there's a reputation of bad agents, but bad agents will only remain as long as the bad people inside the club use them. So yeah, that's quite important. No one talks about the bad people inside the club who needs these bad people to do their kickbacks. Mm-hmm. So no one addresses that issue and says, hey, wait a minute, if someone working inside a football club does kickbacks with someone outside, should be banned from football, right? It's just one clause. I offered this to authorities, but no one puts it in because it's against the interest, right? So, I mean, yeah, it's not always the bad agents. The bad agents remain, and they are actually liked by the bad guys inside the club. That's what I'm saying. That's why they exist till today and will exist.
Yeah. All about money, isn't it?
Yeah, a lot of time it's about money. It is true. It is true, especially in football. And I think the thing with footballers, you can earn so much money very fast, very quick, that attracts as well a lot of people from outside to join the business, right? So your player, if you sign a player, let's say is 18 years old, and does 1 year very good and suddenly becomes a huge contract where the player earns, let's say, 300,000 a week, right? Premier League contract. Mm. And if the agent gets 10% of that, now imagine it's 30,000 a week the agent would earn.
Yeah,
for the length of the contract, in no other business, I think you can earn so much money, and that's why that attracts a lot of people trying to break through into it as well.
Mm. So how does an agent? I know we're sort of going off tangent here because you've written a book specifically about how to become a football agent. But as you said, it's people can become an agent without really having much kind of qualifications to do it. So if you were kind of going to watch football matches regularly and you saw a player that you could see had real talent, so you became interested in their career and you're watching them play week after week, watching them training and thinking, hey, this guy, we need to get him somewhere, we need to get him into a club, can you just kind of contact a club and say, okay, I've got someone I think you should be interested in? I mean, is it as, I don't mean it's as simple as that, I know it's not simple, but is that sort of how it works?
I mean it's very difficult in the beginning, especially to break through, and for a lot of agents the entry into the business is by starting representing a young player. That would look like someone in Madrid or in London would go to watch 15, 16-year-old players. And there he or she would meet parents of the players and start a relationship and build a relationship over a period of time and then start representing the player. And with that player, the agent would learn, do some mistakes and learn and everything. And that could be the journey for a lot of agents has started like that. Okay. But or there's the other avenue, you just start in a big agency, you get an internship or you just apply for a job and you start in an agency, which happens as well. And it's getting to be more professionalized because FIFA is actually working right now on new regulations. They will announce it end of March within the FIFA executive committee on the 31st, I think, of March. They will, new regulations for agents will be in place then, which will be enforced, I think, end of this year. That means agents have to pass an exam again, like before 2015.
Okay.
So after 7-8 years with no regulations, they're going back to the past and saying, now if you want to become an agent, you have to pass an exam, which is like 20 questions and multiple choice tests, and only in four languages you can do it. If you pass it, then you can work as an agent.
And do you think it's good that they're bringing that in?
Oh, yeah, 100%. I'm like fully like committed, like, or I believe that we need a regulated profession. We need more education for agents, of course. There are other areas which FIFA is proposing, which I'm not aligned with, and I don't believe that's the right thing they do. But in general, that regulation's coming back, I totally agree on that.
Well, it's been really interesting chatting with you, Eckert. Thank you so much for joining us. So now this book is out, Deadline. Do you think you're going to write another book? Could it develop into a series, do you think?
Actually, I'm in the middle of the research of the second book. The second book is about the trafficking of minor football players from Africa to Europe. And wow. This is my research part, because every year 15,000 kids are brought from Africa into the European cities and just left over there, like, without anything. Cool. And that's a big problem. And my second story, it will come out in September, will be around that. So maybe we talk again, who knows?
Oh, definitely. Absolutely. Please do get in touch when the second book is out. For the moment, if listeners want to get a copy of Deadline, it's out now. It's on our website, tre.radio. It's by Erkut Sogut, who we've been chatting with today. Erkut, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me. Really appreciate that.